Hey, good morning. I hope you're having a good morning. I hope that as you got up and you saw the sunshine, that you were excited that there's a little bit of warmth and that you're like, I don't know about you, but weather has an effect on me. And knowing that it's not going to be dark at 4 anymore, whew, I love that. I love being able to have some more time and have day and my family loves it too because it means that I might not be in the house for a while, all right? And there's peace then, right? We are going through a Lent series called Abide with Us. And last week we talked about this life of forgiveness and what it means to understand that we, in order to receive forgiveness from Jesus, we also have to be able to live forgiveness out. Right? I'm hoping this week that you had that opportunity. I hope that that whether you have forgiven somebody or sought forgiveness from somebody, I hope that it has freed you. I hope that that you know that God is in the middle of that as you drop these chains of whatever burden or grudge or anything that you have felt freedom. Because that's what it is. When you let go of something that has hurt you and allow God to seep into that moment and be the living grace in that moment and the security and redeeming of whatever that was, whew, life is so much easier. Because that pain's not for you to carry. That grudge is not there for you to carry. God wants that. And I want you to first and foremost to think about that in the terms of our relationship with God. That God loves you so much, he wants to carry your pain, carry your grudges, deal with your revenge, deal with those things. And he promises those things. I will be the great revenge. I will be those things for you. Let me deal with it. Man, that life just gets easier with God, doesn't it? It should when we think about that. I have found it, the more times that I hold on to things, the more weight and stress and worry and anger starts to define me. Once I have released that, once I have allowed God to have it, I am free from those things. I cannot express, and I think a lot of us will be in the same boat that you have felt the same way. The moment that you have let those things go, you feel like 20 pounds lighter. That the weight of that issue that was crushing you was no longer keeping you captive. Now, I will tell you, some things are a lifelong re-forgiving. Understand? We understand that, we get that, but God is working with us. God is using this. God will be in the middle of that. God wants us in this journey. And I think as we continue to practice to let this go and forgive this, it becomes even easier to let it go and forgive it later on. All right? Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about this week is what's this cost me? What's the cost? Right? And I even have another title for this too, and you'll see it. But I thought about in terms, again, my mind works in weird ways. I know that. so bear with me, okay? I wish people had a sign that they had to carry that described, hey, if we're going to be friends, this is what you have to sacrifice. This is what you have to put up. This is what's going to cost you. Right? So like if I had something that said Ben, nifty, says Ben, that's who I am, all right? And I just went through, and I thought about allowing my wife up here and talk about what it costs to be a friend of Ben. I thought we wouldn't have a long enough time, all right? But I just thought if we had this, like if you're going to be my friend, I would say you would have to be able to deal with sarcasm, all right? In that you have to deal with jokes at your expense, right? It's just part of being my friend, all right? If you can't handle it, I will definitely still try to, I will change to be your friend. But that moment of it might slip out and I might hurt your feelings, I will have to come and ask for forgiveness. All right? I understand that. This is who I am. You might have to endure conversations about Illini basketball and how they disappoint me. All right? That might be part of the conversation that we have in a day. Right? You might have to go and bear a time of coffee with me, because I love coffee and I enjoy drinking coffee, and I might say, hey, let's meet up for some coffee. And then you just have to sit at a coffee joint with me, and then we just talk. Ha ha, that's where I get you. All right? So, like, there's a laundry list. It's more than this, but imagine how easy it would be to go, okay, I can be your friend today. I know what it's going to cost me. I know that the sacrifice there, you might make fun of what I'm wearing. You might, you know, I might call you a drama queen today, all right? Love you, Logan. I might have to ask for forgiveness later. That's a board member there. Woo! All right? Testing the grounds. Anyway, like, it would just be nice. Anybody else, like, if can we put this up for a vote that everybody that you come in contact should have a sign, they should wear it, and it'd be like, this is who I am. If you want to be friends with me or encounter me, this is what you're going to have to deal with. Wouldn't it be nice and easy? Would you enjoy that? I would like to have one of these just for my wife, that I know what day it is that I can joke with her. Anybody else? Now, that's my wife. Be careful. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Anyway, I'll put that there. Anyway, I just thought, with our relationship with, when it comes to understanding Jesus and understanding our relationship with God, there's sacrifice, right? Now, if we went to Old Testament style sacrifice, this service would look completely different, right? We wouldn't be very comfortable, because comfort isn't the key to Old Testament service, right? In fact, Sabbath would be a time of like very uncomfortable moments, because I'm bringing an animal to be sacrificed for my sins, right? One that's innocent, one that's pure, one is young, right? That'd be a weird service, wouldn't it? Be different. I saw a puppy here. Where is it? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do it. It's never coming back there again, right? No. But like, sacrifice was something that was bloody and like dark and permanent in the Old Testament, all right? Sacrifice now is a little bit different, but it should still cost you, right? When I do premarital, when I sit down with a couple that's getting married and they ask, hey, can you counsel us? And I'm like, you sure? You want to talk to my wife first? You know, those things tend to go in there. Anyway. I want to let them know that there is this idea of going into a relationship with somebody with the understanding that I am sacrificing who I am to become who we are. You understand that? You guys know vows? Anybody take vows when you got married? Yeah, that's kind of a normal thing, right? Right? Are those easy vows? Like half of them are, right? So I just said in happiness, in rich, in healthy. I do. That's easy, right? That's not sacrificial. And that's not costing me anything, is it? Do you know love cost you? You know sacrificing in a relationship is what cost you in the relationship, in having one in the first place, right? To understand that is the key that it's not just in happiness, it's in rough times. It's not in just healthy, it's when the one is sick. It's not even just in rich, it's when we're in poor, in poverty. We are in this together. That means if the other is sick, if the other is unhappy, if the other is dealing with poverty of some sort, guess what I am dealing with? I deal with that too. Because I have vowed for that. You understand that? So what does it look like then when we live a life that is sacrificial with God? This week, if you look it up, Romans 12, mark it, all right? Romans 12. I would love for you to read Romans 12. It's not a long chapter. Read it every day, right? Just read it every day. Maybe I truly believe you will get something out of it every day that's new. All right, and I am going to whip through chapter 12 pretty quick, but I want you to mark it. I want you to reread it. I want you to go, Ben, Pastor, you missed this. You missed this. You missed this. Man, this is so full of such rich stuff, and we are going to just hammer it for the next, like, 15 minutes. All right? But I truly believe that we are called to live out this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. What we love to get to first off, and in my early years of following God, the biggest thing, the biggest question I had when I said yes to God and I want God to live here and reside here is, what's God's will for me? What's God's will? What does he want me to do, right? I wanted to be defined by God. I wanted to be what God wanted me to be. And so it was constantly going, am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I going to do what God wants to do? And then when he did give me a clear answer, guess what? I was like, that's not what you want me to do? No, I am not called to ministry. Right? And it's easy to fight it. I will tell you, and people might regret going, should we hire this guy? He doubts a lot. It's okay, first off, right? I'm not doubting God. I doubt that God could use me because I know me. Anybody else ever in that boat? Right? Okay. First and foremost, in college, the moment that I felt solidified in where God wanted me to go, you want to know what made it affirming, I went into a room that was a volunteer meeting for Youth for Christ, and Youth for Christ is this group of people that get together and just spread Christ through their community, and they did it through their schools, right? You want to know why I went into that room? I didn't see the sign. I smelled cookies. All right, let's go. Went in and I became a volunteer for Youth for Christ and did that for 3 years and loved it. Now, in that moment, you know, I'm asking God, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm at Olivet Nazarene University and I'm trying to figure out. And I felt a call to ministry, so I went into the religion department thinking, okay, well, let's figure this out. And I will tell you, there are many times I left some of those classes going, I have no clue what language they're speaking. They would say things, I would read things, and I would go, I have, what? That's not the same scripture that I'm reading. I had the picture Bible at that time. So much easier. All right? I dealt with doubt of who I am and how can God use this to glorify him in this role. Right? And I just kept asking, there's got to be something you want me to do. It can't be a pastor. It can't be a pastor. And then I went into youth ministry for 20 years. I followed my nose and became a youth pastor. right? I got cookies, and it just dropped me down. And all of a sudden, doors just kept opening, and I kept following where God was opening those doors, right? And I want you to know, like, this is crazy. Like, we talk about sacrifice, and I want you to know, my wife has lived the sacrificial life being my wife. Don't laugh. Amen. Who said amen? I need to find somebody that gives me good confidence. Anyway, let me explain. My wife, I knew the moment that we started dating, I knew I was dating somebody above my grade, above my pay grade, above who I am. Like, I knew I was dating somebody that was like, okay, can I fool her into loving me? All right? Because she's super smart. She's charismatic. She's like super friendly and caring. And guess what? She loves God. Like, those things, like, that set me off. And once we started really dating and knowing those things, she found out, oh, you're a religion major. Oh, you're a youth pastor. So you're never going to make money. Now, if you know Michelle, that was a requirement. back in the recesses of my brain, too, I thought, I'm marrying this lady. She's going to be making a lot of money. She's so smart. We got pregnant pretty early. 4 years. 4 years, right. I moved her to places that she couldn't get a real job. Let's put it that way. We moved to towns of 5,000 people. She went where I felt called. She would move where I felt called. That's a sacrifice there. All right? That's tough. All right? And I will tell you, like, what was it, 6 moves now? 7 moves? We're on our 7th move, I think. We're done moving, she told me. All right? If it doesn't work here, good luck, she told me. You'll be a great Walmart greeter. All right? You got a face for it. Don't know what that means. Anyway. But to be married is to be sacrificed. To follow Jesus Christ is to live a sacrificial life. And let me give you some of the things that looks like when you transform your mind and your heart to follow him. All right? Romans 12, 9 through 21 says this. And I'm not going to go verbatim. I'm going to give you bullet points kind of deal. All right? Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Are you a negative person? Do you look at this world and go, there's no hope for it? Do you wake up and go, oh, it's another day. Oh, it's another day with you. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to be transformed. You have to let go of that. You have to sacrifice that part of you. You need to learn how to find joy and hope. You need to be patient in affliction. You need to be faithful in prayer. These are sacrifices. Because what does it put you outside of? This makes you not the center of your world. Sharing with those in need, practicing hospitality. I always find this interesting. Like, why is hospitality within Scripture? Do you know what imagine just living a life where you go to your home, you worry about yourself, you never want to invite anybody in, so you're not knowing, and like, you don't know how to be hospitable. You don't know opening the doors for people. You don't know shaking hands. You don't know greeting people. You don't know these things because your world centers around you. You don't know common courtesy when somebody asks you, hey, what do you do for life? You don't go back and go, oh, yeah, what do you do for life? I've been there. I've recognized that about myself. Like, I easily answer it, and I'm like, oh, I should have asked. And then it's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes down the road, and you're like, I didn't ask. Should I ask now? It's going to be awkward. We have to learn to be hospitable because it's going beyond ourselves, sacrificing our comfort to find out the other person, to acknowledge the other one. blessing those who persecute us. Is this easy? And if you really think about it, today's world is even interesting. We don't necessarily do it with stones or tomatoes or any of that. How do we persecute how are you persecuted today? What does persecution look like today? Social media, right? And what I love too is like we don't necessarily have to tag somebody, but we know it's about us. Have you ever had one of those? You read somebody's comment, you're like, yeah, I think that's me. Just me? Right? How do we deal with that? Do you just want to call them up and yell at them? Do you want to get on your Facebook or your social media and be like, all right, it's my turn, let's go. Let's tell the other side of the story. Everybody needs to know. Right? Blessing those who persecute us. You know what that blessing is? Loving them. Being kind to them. Lifting them up. Showing them that their words don't hurt you the way that they are intended. Now, I'm going to say words still hurt. But when God resides in here, when we sacrifice ourselves to God, when we allow to be a living sacrifice, we understand who is the king and ruler and who really has the final say about who we are. Right? Right? No? Okay. All right. I got Tony. All right. All right. Blessing those who persecute us is sacrificing the revenge. Sacrificing the get back and acknowledging God is the fulfillment. Acknowledging that God is the ruler. Let's go to the next one. Rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn. Oof. This is like, I think, 101. Of the aspect of how to live for God in some ways. Like, we should learn how to party together, right? Have a good time together, right? And I think many times I've seen it, I've been part of it. I go, man, if I could just bottle this up and just take it wherever I go, I would love it. And people will go, man, they know how to party, right? They know how to rejoice. They know how to be in His presence. They know how to be what God has called us to be. Right? Can you imagine learning to become, I guess, professional mourner? Somebody that's hurting and you recognize it and don't just recognize it, but sit with them, hurt with them, mourn with them. That's not easy. And I'm not just saying, oh, for an hour I did that. I mean, consistently, when somebody's going through a tough time, they know they can bank on you being there with them to go through that tough time. Now, what I love about this, too, is it doesn't say, hey, when somebody's going through a rough time, fix it. When somebody's dealing with pain, make them better. I had to learn that early on in my years of marriage. I learned I'm not Mr. Fix-It for you, right? But it took me years to realize that. She had to fix me, right? Like, I had to learn I'm not here to solve her problems. I'm here to go through the problems with her. I'm here to go through the problems with my brother. I'm here to go through the issues and the loss of whatever with you, not to resolve you. And I'm not saying this because I think this is my only problem. I think a lot of us deal with that. I think we go in and we go, okay, I put my time in, and I want to make sure you're okay, and I want you to know you're loved, but I did my hour today, so that's all that's there. I'm going to tell you right now, there is no time clock to mourn with somebody. Just as there's no time clock to rejoice with somebody, even when you're going through hell, if somebody is rejoicing, you are called to do what? Rejoice. I just lost my job. My marriage is a rock. I don't feel like I'm a great parent. Let's go and have a good time. Do you know what this is? This is sacrificial living when we understand we put ourselves down in that moment of to be sacrificed, to go, my worries and my don'ts and my wants and everything within that is put to side to go and follow Jesus. And when somebody's in a good place, I'm not going to drag them down to where I'm at. If they're celebrating Jesus, we celebrate together. If they're hurting, we hurt together. And I'm not just saying that you can't do these things. You can't feel hurt and you can't feel joy in those moments. What I'm saying is you don't intentionally try to drag somebody down to your level when they're there. If you're here and they're celebrating in that moment, if it's a birthday party or if it's a worship setting and it's one of those ones that, like, the roof is being raised off this thing and people are excited to be in his presence and you just come in and like, life stinks, I'm horrible, please be with me, and just become the center of that, what you have just lost there in that moment is not that God doesn't love you in that moment, but you've made that moment about you and not God. Do you understand that? We have a tendency to walk through these doors, to be in this body. Like, if you understand, again, church is a body of believers. It is not a building. It is not an address. It's not any of that. We are called to be together in his presence, and we worship him. And the moment that we come together, it is no longer about me or you. It is about God. And we worship him. Whether we want to or not, whether we are dealing with the pains and agonies of life, we are in his presence and we recognize that. And we become living sacrifices of it. Living in harmony with one another and not being conceited. Is there people that you can just live without for this rest of time? If I... Just put names there. I might be that name for you. I'm sorry. Right? Like, you are called to live in harmony with each other, to seek out peace, to seek out resolution, to not let, if there's a barrier in the way, to not let that barrier be there. To actively pursue a way to find common ground. To actively pursue a way to find peace and harmony with each other. I bet you have people in your life that you go, no matter what I say or I do, I cannot please them. Right? Anybody? But there's a difference of, like, giving up on that and still actively pursuing it. Whenever you come into contact, it is not to bring up the thing that is in there unless it is to resolve that thing that sits there and buries you, or it is to let it go and go, okay, God's got this, and I will love them no matter what, whether they hate me or not. I bring harmony into this moment. I bring peace into this moment. And, you know, again, that's sacrificial. Because if we really look at it, there are moments in our lives that we feel like we are justified to feel the way we feel, right? Right? People have said things and done things, and we're just feel justified of feeling like, I'd rather punch them in the face than say, hey, how you doing, man? Right? Again, I know I'm a pastor. I don't go around punching people in the face, and nor do I think about it that often. All right? All right? I want you to know, I want to live at peace with everyone because of what God has done here. And it's a work in progress. I'm being transformed daily. And it's not just one moment that I have given my life over to God and go, okay, I'm perfect now. No, it is this constant, okay, work on me. Work on me. Because I know in this moment that I interacted with them, it was not one out of harmony. I had some anger back there, and I said some words, and I acted like, God, work with me. It is a sacrifice to cut that part out of you, to allow God to reside in you. And when you interact, your moments of where, even if it's justified, it's God's going to do the justification of it. You come along, and God's already resolved it in your heart. Not repaying evil for evil, but doing what is right. Now, I think this is a moment, it's really difficult during your teenage / adolescence years. If somebody hits you, what do you want to do when you're a teenager? Okay, I'm watching you, Matthew. I got you, man. All right? I think he's gunning for me since the Super Bowl party, right? I feel it. All right. You have to talk to Matthew about it, all right? But if somebody trips you, what do you want to do back? Trip them, knock them down, right? Okay, I got too many adults that want to say this, all right? If somebody cuts you off, what do? This one said hit them. Don't drive near Jackson. Right? I'm saying all these things, it's just, but it's so eternally important to understand that we don't live in a world anymore, the moment that we ask Jesus Christ in our life, that we don't pay evil back with evil. In fact, we expect evil to happen and know God's got it. And it's okay. Somebody talks bad about you. Somebody says something or corrupts your reputation. What do you do about it? See, this is real world things. And within the relationship with God, if we need to let the world know who we are, we deal with evil the way God has called us to deal with evil. Through Him. He handles it. We're loving. We bring peace to chaos, right? Is it easy? Thank you for being honest. It's not. When you have to restrain yourself, it is the Holy Spirit working on you and letting you know, I've got this. You're good. In your mind, give them a hug. It's not easy, is it? When you live it out, when it happens, I'm going to let you right now. No, there's freedom there. And it's not freedom found in this world. It's not freedom found in just that moment. It's freedom in understanding what God is doing in your life, that He's bigger than this world. And when you've been freed from it, you get to taste what heaven's like. You get to taste what God's like, that you realize, okay, this stuff, this garbage, this stuff that comes at me, God is big enough, He can handle it. And through it, I find my joy still. Because I'm not basing off what they say or what they do or how they act. I base it off of what Jesus did at the cross. That's enough. Right? Living at peace with everyone. Like these next three, not repaying evil for evil, living at peace with everyone, and not taking revenge on your enemies. I feel like he had to repeat it for a reason. Like they're said in different ways, but they're all like with the same heart. And he had to repeat it for, you got to understand too, who the disciples were, what they were doing. They were going to places that were not necessarily welcome to their message. And they would be vindictive, and they would kick them out. They would arrest them. They end up most getting killed. And what I love, there's a story where they're kicked out of a town, and they're beaten. And they get up, and they wipe the dirt off, and they go back into the town. And they don't go, "You guys are horrible. You're all going to hell, and you can't wait for you to go to hell, and we'll be in heaven because you deserve it." They went in there and like, "God loves you. Jesus died for you." They came with the message that was still upon their heart because that message was reigning within them, and they sacrificed everything else. They lived a life of sacrifice. You see, there's a cost to following Christ. And it means like this and this has to be transformed and renewed daily. There are things like you go home and you probably hear, like it just sits there from the day and like, and you just start thinking and you start going, "Oh, that's just not, oh, I'm going to say this tomorrow. I can't wait. I wish I would have said this 15 times before." Right? I've had interactions with people and I'm just, either I'm not quick in those moments that they're giving me a hard time, and then I'm like, walking away, I'm like, "Man, if I just said this, that would have been so good. That would have really zung them. They would just, I would have won." I want you to know it's not about winning with Jesus. It's about loving with Jesus. It's about living with Jesus. It's about sacrifice with Jesus. It's about them understanding there's peace with Jesus. It's about them understanding I love you despite you with Jesus, right? Amen. This and this has to be transformed daily. So what's the cost? Romans 12:1 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So this morning, this is my hope, that we did true and proper worship this morning. It wasn't about the songs. It's not about the moment of hearing me speak. It's not about being in this building. It's about God allowing him to come in and change you, to search you out and seek out the areas in your life that needs to be transformed. Maybe you think you are the center of the world, and right now God is coming in and, "No, you're not. I want to be the center of your world. I want you to wake up tomorrow morning and go, 'Okay, God, how can I serve you? How can I be here for you?' Okay, go love the loveless. Go be at peace with those who cause war and throw stones and say things. Go the extra mile for somebody. When they ask you to go one, you go two. And it's not to glorify you, but it is to glorify God." Again, let's change this around. Instead of being in a list of the things that you have to deal with, how about, "This is Ben. I want to be a Christ follower. That's who I am." Imagine having to carry something the moment you allow God to move in here, and this is permanent now, and they see this, people are even going to come at you more. If you had to carry a sign that said, "I am a God for, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe it, and I want to be that. I want to be loving. I want to be kind. I know I'm not called to judge. I know I'm not called to be the one that deals with anger. I need to be at peace." You know what they're going to do? Imagine your coworkers. Imagine family. Man, they're going to push it. Aren't they? How are you going to respond? "Well, I'll just pray for them. Dear Lord, smite them." And I think God has a response for that. I put them in your life for a reason. I've got a calling upon you. You want to know my will for you? To love them. To show them grace and mercy. To show them a life that is truly authentic, believing in Jesus Christ. That when there is a moment that you are justified, you allow God to do the justifying. Sacrificial living, in my opinion, is real living. You're no longer caught up in this world of who has what, who did what, because you already know who has it all, and you already know who did it all. And your life is defined by a moment on a cross. The ultimate living sacrifice. Paid the price for everything that you did, will do, and have done. Because of how much he loves you. And the cool thing is, the moment you ask him into your life, he starts to transform you into this moment too. To understand to carry your cross, that your life is no longer about your necessary wants and desires, but about what God wants out of you. My desire this week is that when you read Scripture this week, when you read Romans 12 every day, I'm hoping you read it every day because I hope that you get, I know I'm going to get something out of it every day. I really do. But I hope that this resides first. I hope that that you are seeking God's will. And in order to do that, you need a life. Sorry, I'm going to have to go all the way back. That is not conforming to this world, but being transformed and renewed daily by him. Are you willing to allow that to happen? Nobody else can force you to do this. But the moment that you say yes to this, you become a living sacrifice for Jesus. That he resides here and makes the calls in your life. Stand with me. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to not be conformed by this world, but to be transformed by Jesus. The moments that you have that are full of chaos and hurt and anger and pain, seek God. Allow God to reside there and transform you. As justified as you feel, know that it has been paid for on the cross. Not just for you, but the other as well. Trust in that. Believe in that. May that be the source of who you are this week. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, transform us, renew our minds, change our hearts. May we be followers of you. May we go in your peace this morning. Amen. You're dismissed.